Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to the internet's favorite show about plastic surgery, health, and beauty. This is Nip Talk. Today's segments. First off, the CDC just released a warning about people contracting HIV from vampire facials. What is a vampire facial? We're going to talk about it. Then, Kate Middleton's cancer diagnosis. The whole world wonders, what type of cancer does she have? We're going to talk about that. And then finally, Sarah's going to tell us all about creatine supplements, and it's coming up right now.
Live from Lincoln Center in the heart of the Dallas Metroplex, this is Nip Talk. An honest and uncensored show about plastic surgery, health, beauty, and lifestyle. With your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman, and your co-host, entrepreneur and social media influencer Sarah Bennett. Now it's time to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the topics everyone is talking about. It's time for Nip Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Please hit that like and subscribe button. It helps us so much. I'm your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman, and with me this week is the amazing Sarah.
Hi.
Fresh back from trip.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, that's great. That's awesome. In the box, we got Travis. What's up, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good. Friday. It's Friday. It's a good day.
Absolutely.
Now, Sarah, you were telling us you got to go to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
My job sent me there, and I got to teach CPR.
Wow.
And it was hands-only CPR, so it was super quick because it was so funny because there was people, like, drunk people coming up there being like, can I get recertified? And I was like, first off, you have to be sober. Second, that's a four-hour course, you know.
Oh, my god!
But, yeah, it was fun. Most of the people that wanted to learn how to do it were kids, so it was really fun teaching them.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
If anything, they learned how to, like, call 911 and tell somebody to get an AED.
Now, did you get to meet anybody cool at the draft?
Yes. Damar Hamlin.
Oh, hey, very nice.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. He was nice.
Right. Yeah?
Right.
Now, I admit my ignorance here. Where was the draft this year?
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. And Motown.
Like, yeah, for people that say that, like, that town is dead, they really came alive for that event.
Oh, I bet. I bet it was hopping.
And, like, I didn't see any, like, homeless people or, like, homelessness.
Is that a problem up there? I guess it's a problem in all the major
because
cities.
It's, like, a vacant, they say it's, like, vacant city.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
It's not really.
But I see more homeless people in Denton than I ever have. than
yeah.
I ever did
there.
There.
Hot and didn't, yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice. They shut down all the streets. They had concerts there. I didn't get to go, but stuff like that. So it was cool.
Did you have any Cowboys gear on when you were there?
Yeah.
You did?
Are you repping the boys?
I bought.
Nice. I had to wear like a t-shirt that, you know, about CPR and stuff, yeah. But I wore a Cowboys hat.
Nice.
And people are like, so we had like this big like group of people that like, you know, took up our entire tent and then they left. Uh-huh. And so we were all just like standing there, like, you know, drinking our water and just like chilling. And then some guy goes, I know why there's nobody in your tent. And I was like, what? He goes, because that hat. And I was like,
dude, it's America's team. Everyone loves the Cowboys.
100%. It's wolves howling at the moon, is how I put it.
Mm-hmm.
Wolves howling at the moon.
Wolves howling at the moon.
Yes, indeed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I had a lot of fun. It was cool.
That's super cool to like go places for. I used to actually do a lot of trips for work for like conferences, and then mm-hmm. COVID hit and they kind of dried up. But I think I'm gonna get back into it because it's fun to go to a city and, you know, especially when your work's paying for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, check things out. And I used to love like going to conferences, but
yeah, that's one thing that Detroit didn't have. I looked up like things to do.
Not much.
No. The thing to do was
the draft.
The draft. Yeah. So I was just like, I'll just go eat somewhere cute.
Yeah. I lived in Michigan for a year. I lived in Grand Rapids, which was on the opposite side.
See, I didn't realize how close Detroit was to Canada.
Oh, yeah, it's like across the river or something. Yeah.
Like
Windsor. Isn't it Windsor that's across it? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so. I just was standing there looking out over the river, and I was like, the Canadian flag.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Was it cold up there?
No, it was nice.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Nice. Excellent. Well, glad to have you back.
Yeah.
It's cool you got to go do something fun.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Let's dive into some topics. All right. Have you guys have heard of the vampire facial?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw it on
you
the
saw
gram.
The,
I saw,
you saw the article.
News. Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, I mean, I know just enough, or I knew just enough about vampire facials to be dangerous. I basically knew it was like PRP, but actually.
What is PRP?
Platelet-rich plasma.
Oh.
I'm gonna tell you all about it. So last week, the CDC reported that three women in New Mexico were diagnosed with HIV that they got from getting vampire facials. And that's pretty crazy because this is the first documented case of somebody getting a bloodborne illness like HIV from a aesthetic type treatment.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a big deal. And I'm sure that there's, you guys are probably pretty familiar with vampire facials. I guess, are you? I mean, you know, you've
heard
of...
I know about them from, I think, the Kardashians.
Yeah, right, yes.
Promoting it.
So Kim Kardashian was big on promoting vampire facials. So,
yeah.
So for those who don't know what a vampire facial is, basically that is a aesthetic procedure where they draw your own blood out, and they take your blood and they put it in vials, and they spin it in a centrifuge. And what the centrifuge does is it separates out the red blood cells from the plasma, which has the platelets in it. So that's why they call it platelet-rich plasma. And so once the blood is separated out, then they pull out the platelet-rich plasma, and then they inject it into your face.
What is it supposed to do?
That's a great question. So it's supposed to rejuvenate your skin by improving the overall skin quality, thickness, and texture, and to decrease wrinkles and pores.
And does it work really well, or is it just something like?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, this is my first deep dive into vampire facials, because as a plastic surgeon, I see like articles that are written by plastic surgeons and other, you know, doctors, and they've always been kind of looked down on these a little bit, that they, you know, there's not like any good data on them, mm-hmm. and that, you know, it's maybe a lot of hocus pocus. So I actually started looking for studies on vampire facials, and I have to admit that the data is pretty sparse.
Yeah.
Because I was looking for, okay, I want to compare this to, you know, like a placebo, or compare it to like a laser. Like, where does this thing stand? Because it is kind of pricey. So if you're going to get this, you're supposed to get three treatments, and three treatments is going to run you somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000. So there's some, and that of course depends on where you live.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be cheaper some places. So I did find one study, and I actually got a picture of it there. So this is from the Experimental and Therapeutic Medical Journal. So, I mean, not to like diss this journal, but I mean, that's, I would rather see something from like either Plastic Surgery Journal or, you know, maybe Dermatology. So this is, I'm not going to get grief this journal a lot, but I mean, this is not like a well-known journal.
Right.
So I actually read this article, and it's the effects of autologous platelet-rich plasma injections on facial skin rejuvenation, which is exactly what I wanted to learn about. And according to this study, and I actually read the study, I looked at what they were looking at. They were looking at like microscope samples of the skin, as well as taking pictures. And they came to the conclusion that it actually helped. However, there was a couple things about the study that I was kind of like, well, one, it only had 30 patients, which, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, that's a pretty small study. I mean, it doesn't mean that the data is, you know, worthless, but you like to see a little bit bigger study. But like the thing that really kind of got me is they actually had the pictures of what they were rating. And so throw that picture up, Charles. I don't know, you guys might be able to see this. So what they did is they injected the PRP in one side of the face and didn't inject it in the other, and then they compared them. And if I remember correctly, the right side is the one that they injected the PRP, and the left side was the one they did not. And I looked at that picture pretty hard. And so what it is, it's like week 1, 2, 3, 4, or maybe it's 1, 2, 4, 6. I can't quite see it up there. You know, I didn't see a huge difference in that. Maybe there's a little bit of a difference, but I'll tell you, I looked at their results and I was like, I don't know. But I
can't see anything.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, this is something you'd probably have to blow it up and zoom in on it. I'll tell you, the research paper does say that it helped, and they looked at more than just this picture. But I do agree now with kind of the consensus that the data on this is a little bit sparse.
Yeah.
You know, the treatments that we use in my office, like there's years and years of like really good data on it. And that's why I ended up going with those different treatments versus something like this. But anyway, so vampire facial, basically take your own blood, They spin it, they get the platelet-rich plasma, they inject it in your face, and it's allegedly supposed to improve your skin quality, decrease wrinkles, decrease your pores, so on and so forth.
Allegedly.
reportedly. So anyway, back to this event. So this actually happened in 2018. So in 2018, this woman in New Mexico, Albuquerque area, got HIV, and she had, like, no risk factors. I think she was, like, you know, she was either single and not sexually active, not, you know, drug user, never had a blood transfusion. So when she came down with this HIV, they were like, okay, well, what have you been doing lately?
Yeah, you know, what have you been doing with needles lately?
Right. And so she's like, oh, well, I got a vampire facial. Well, this was at the VIP spa in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so the health department launched this investigation about this. And when they got to the spa, apparently it was just
nasty.
Yeah, it was one. It was unlicensed.
Yeah, I actually read the article that
You?
But it was like a social media article, so it wasn't like
It wasn't super detailed. Yeah, I pulled a bunch to try to get as much data as I could.
Yeah, but I read that it was like super gross.
Yep.
The refrigerator that was keeping
like
blood.
Food and blood in it.
Yeah.
And like so there was two important things that they found that kind of is the likely cause for, because, you know, so some people may not have any idea how this lady got HIV. Well,
wasn't it like the needles were like unclean?
They were reusing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had one-time use needles that they were reusing probably from patient to patient.
Gross.
And they also had blood vials that were unmarked, which meant that they potentially were giving the wrong blood to, you know, they were giving somebody blood that wasn't theirs.
Ugh.
So, yeah, it was a real disaster. And the person that was the owner slash person doing them was, like, not a licensed, you know, provider. So, obviously, this was kind of an illegal, you know, outfit. And
it's like, you wonder what goes through people's brains.
I know. How do you feel like that you're going to pull that off?
Yeah. It's like they must have no empathy for any person.
Yeah. Like, right. I mean, because that's just, like, gross negligence. I mean, just beyond
it's straight up rude is what it is.
You are so rude,
like,
sir.
How are you gonna freaking put like somebody else's blood in somebody
and reusing needles
and
I mean
be
just
okay with that, like,
just
sleep
like
at night.
And cool. It's like so crazy because, you know, it's not like needles are expensive. I mean, you know, we buy needles all the time because we, you know, run a med spa.
I mean, they can't
like
be
dirt
super
cheap.
Expensive. They're disposable.
Yeah, I mean, they're dirt cheap. It's like a penny for a needle or two pennies. Like, it's like so cheap. But yeah, they just really were not following any type of safety protocols whatsoever. I mean, it's almost like they really had no idea what they were doing. And so unfortunately, you know, once they figured out what had happened, then they started like tracking down all of the patients who'd gotten these vampire facials at this particular med spa. And two more people after that initial person came down with HIV.
It's only three if they were doing all that crap.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is you'd have to have somebody that had HIV come
first,
in, right? Because, I mean, most of the time, if I gave you my blood or vice versa, I mean, obviously we would reject the blood, but, I mean, if we are clean, which I assume we are, like, nothing would happen, you know, nothing bad would happen. So you'd have to have somebody with HIV come in, then they'd have to, you either use that contaminated needle or their contaminated blood and give it to the next person. And sometimes, you know, you can get exposed. I was exposed. This is like really crazy. I was exposed to hepatitis C like 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was doing a trauma case and I stuck myself with a needle.
I thought that was scary.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, honestly, it happens way more commonly than you think. If you're a surgeon, I mean, I probably get stuck by a needle once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news is actually 100% of the times it's a solid needle.
Yeah.
It's much worse to get stuck with a hypodermic needle because the hypodermic needles hold a lot more blood in them.
What is the hypodermic needle used for?
Like for injecting stuff.
Oh, okay.
See, I stick myself with sewing needles. Needles are solid, right?
Sense.
There's no reason for anything to flow through a sewing needle.
Okay.
But a hypodermic needle is one you give injections
vaccines,
with.
Vaccines.
Yeah, vaccines like or, you know, IV drug Lose. Medications, uh-huh. that kind of stuff. So I've been stuck a lot of times with solid needles, and when that happens, we just, you know, say, okay, you know, surgeon got stuck, and then they just run a test of that person to make sure that they don't have anything. So that happened to me, I guess 5 or 6 years ago, and the patient had pretty bad hepatitis C, and he didn't know he had it, and so I had to take all these, you know, do all these tests and stuff to make sure I didn't get it, which was obviously a good thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, my point in that story is that just because someone's exposed doesn't necessarily mean they get it.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, who knows how many people were exposed and didn't get it.
But I wonder, so like if you go to like a licensed place that does that, I wonder if they make it to where you have to like give your, like you have to be tested to like
do that. No, there's no way.
Really?
Well, no, because you're getting your own blood back, right? So it's like, you know, I'm taking your blood, I'm spinning it, I'm collecting the stuff I want to inject, and then I inject it in you, and then everything goes in the trash.
That makes
sense. So if you have, if you had HIV, well, so what?
Well, like, your blood should be handled like a contaminated thing anyways.
Well, and it's the same thing in any med spa, even if they're not doing vampire facials, because there's needles and stuff that are potential contaminants, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, you have to have some knowledge of, you know, sterile procedure.
You treat everybody like they could.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's like a needle's like a gun, right? You treat it like it's loaded because you never know what somebody may have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so three people ended up getting HIV from this VIP spa in Albuquerque. It was shut down, like, immediately. Like, once the health department came there, they actually shut it down in 2018. Mm-hmm. Because of like all of the just gross violations that they had. And the guy ended up going to jail, the owner. He got like 4 years in prison, which I don't know. I think that's kind of light for giving three people HIV personally.
I would say 4 years for each of them.
Yeah, I thought that was
pretty wild.
Each
person he gave HIV to.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a life-changing diagnosis. I mean, fortunately now HIV is, you know, most people die with it, not from it, because the drugs are so good. But I mean, you don't want to be on drugs the rest of your life. I mean, that's not good. So, yeah, pretty crazy story. And so, obviously, with these things, we always, you know, talk about, okay, what can we learn from this?
Yeah.
You know, how can you, you possibly prevent this from happening? You know, I'll tell you, like, this one's kind of a tough one because I assume this place was set up like, you know, any other med spa. I'm sure they had a good website. You know, I'm sure on the website it probably said that they were, you know, fully vested in all this, right? That's a tough one. I mean, you'd have to, as a patient, really be cognizant of your surroundings to know, like, what's appropriate or what's not.
Is there, like, a license for vampire facials, or is there just, like, a license for, like...
Just, like, for doing medical treatments, yeah. Okay. And the thing is, it varies state to state.
Is that what it's called?
What,
like, for like, in Texas, if somebody's, like...
Wants so you have to be a licensed injector. Like, you can be a nurse injector or a licensed esthetician. But, like, the laws are... They vary a lot from state to state, and a lot of the laws are super loose.
Okay.
I mean, there's people injecting, you know, here in Dallas-Fort Worth that, I mean...
Should not be.
Probably not. I mean, because, you know, what they'll end up doing is someone will go and do a course, and then their friend who's, you know, a family practice doctor is their medical director... And that person may not really know anything at all about these treatments. I mean, that happens all the time. Remember that one med spa that got shut down because they gave TPN to somebody for an IV therapy and it killed them?
Yes.
I mean, the person running that was an anesthesiologist. I mean, they don't know anything about aesthetic, like zero.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have to like learn it fresh. You know, I mean, really, like, I guess one way you could prevent this is, you know, make sure if you're going to go to a medical spa that the, you know, the medical director is somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, preferably plastic surgeon, dermatology.
They're not,
you know,
a family doctor.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that because, you know, I mean, I'm sure that there probably is family doctors out there that are well-versed in these things. But, I mean, there's definitely a difference between, you know, plastic surgeons and dermatologists who, you know, they would be considered the experts on these type of things. And, you know, an internal medicine doctor or pathologist, like some doctor that has really no background in this, I think your chances of running into trouble would be higher.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of scary. Because I tried to find some pictures of this place. I couldn't really get anything that was decent. But I would imagine that this place probably looked pretty legit.
Pretty good catfish med spa.
Yeah. I mean, you would think, I mean, people were going there. And so, you know, it probably had a pretty legit front to it. But in reality, they were just really not following regulations whatsoever.
You know?
Yeah. So scary stuff. But yeah.
So creepy.
Vampire facials. Some of the girls in my office wanted to start doing vampire facials. And I was like, maybe. I mean, I just don't know if that, you know, I don't want to like do any treatment where.
I feel like it's just, to me, it sounds like something that rich people do just because. That's what it sounds like.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Like they're like, I think I'll get blood in my face. My own blood. But
yeah. Right.
I'm just going to shoot some blood.
I mean, you know, there's some data out there that shows that PRP, so platelet-rich plasma has some beneficial effects.
It can help.
It can have some beneficial effects, yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So I'm not sold on it personally. I wouldn't do it. You know, if somebody said, hey, I'll give you a free vampire facial, I'd be like, nah.
If it's like, do a vampire facial or do one of my laser treatments.
Yeah, I'm going to do a laser all the time. 100%.
There you go. There's no point to them.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to totally poo-poo it, but like, I'm very skeptical.
I wouldn't do it.
And if my wife said she's going to go do it, I'd be like, I guess. I mean.
Are you doing this because you just want to?
Yeah. You saved too much money.
Yeah. Let's use it somewhere else.
All right. Interesting stuff. All right, well, let me know what you think about the vampire facial. If you've had a vampire facial, leave a comment. Let me know. Did you like it? Did it actually work? I mean, I don't know if I've met somebody that's had a vampire facial, so you'd be teaching me. So, all right, moving on. Now, you were out of town last week, which is awesome. I'm glad you got to go do that. You missed out on the segment last week, and we did a pretty interesting topic last week that was the rising rate of cancer in young people.
Okay.
And so... I was looking for topics for this week, and an update on Kate Middleton popped up. Are you guys follow the royal family? Are you guys secret royal family followers?
I followed the whole situation around it.
Did you tell me one time that you were really into the royal family, or am I making that up?
I'm making it up. I am.
You are? Okay.
I don't think I ever said it, but I am into the royal family.
I think maybe sometime in passing that you mentioned that.
Maybe so.
Which I think that's... really cool. I just don't care one bit about the royal family. I don't even care about the American, not that we have a royal family, but like,
our royal family are like celebrities.
Yeah. I don't care about the Kardashians. I don't care about the presidents, you know, all of them. I just don't have time for that. So I personally don't follow the royal family. If somebody quizzed me about the royal family, I would 100% fail and probably embarrassingly so. But yeah. I know a lot of people follow the royal family, including my wife, who was Princess Diana's like biggest fan.
Yeah.
In fact, she cut her hair like Princess Diana when she was like 10 years old. I should have brought a picture of it. She's probably watching right now, and she's probably happy I didn't. She had like the Princess Diana cut, but like I don't know if it flows with a 10-year-old. But anyway, I digress. So I know a lot of people follow the royal family, and very sadly, shockingly, a little over a month ago, Kate Middleton, who is, I had to look this up, Catherine, Princess of Wales.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means, but...
Me neither.
I mean, I know what Wales is. I know what princess, but I don't know if that title is... I guess that's an important title.
Yes.
So she made a very shocking announcement that she had cancer. And so for those who haven't seen the video, I wanted to play it because I don't know, maybe everyone loves the royal family and I'm the odd man out here.
Well, everybody says that all this is like AI, that she's already gone or something. That's like the...
What? You know how the internet is, man. They make up
the craziest
crap.
They're like, you see that spot in the background in the bushes?
I did see something about that. The grass is fake or something, yeah.
I had not watched Catherine's,
or is it Catherine or Kate? She goes by Kate, I guess.
Yeah, she goes by Kate.
She goes by Kate, okay. Okay, so I had not...
She called her yesterday.
So I had not seen Kate's announcement, and so I actually watched it. And I was going to play it because, I mean, I think it's very, you know, powerful and heartfelt, and there's some good message in there. So, Travis, can you roll Kate's... It's a couple minutes long, but let's roll it for those people who haven't seen it.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I've been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time. It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment, but most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them, and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. As I've said to them, I am well. I'm getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body, and spirit. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support, and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. We hope that you'll understand that as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I'm able. But for now, I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
All right, so yeah, pretty powerful stuff. And so I watched that for the first time this week. I was last night or night before, and the first thing I thought is like, what type of cancer does she have? Because they didn't mention that, and I don't know why. I guess being a doctor, that's the first thing I think of. But then
I had no idea. That was what I was thinking too.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I didn't know. I mean, I think stuff.
What's wrong with her then?
I think stuff, you know, from a medical background. Well, apparently the whole like world is wondering because no one knows. Like they haven't.
Yeah, they won't say it. Right?
They won't say, which I think is odd. I mean, if you're going to announce, you have
cancer. But there's like different types of cancers like that are more serious than others.
For sure. Yeah.
So
I was really surprised they didn't say what type of cancer it is. Everyone's speculating on it. But, I mean, we can actually make a short list of what it might be because we do have some information.
Do we know what surgery she had?
So we don't know exactly, but we know broadly. So okay. I was thinking, all right, what type of cancer could she have? She's 42 years old, female. The cancer was discovered in major abdominal surgery of an unspecified type, and she was advised to have chemotherapy. Okay. So knowing those things, you can actually make a very, you know, likely list of what she might have because that information tells you certain things. There's certain cancers you wouldn't give chemo for. There's certain cancers that wouldn't be diagnosed in abdominal surgery. So so I kind of like went through the list and I have three I think are very possibly it, two that are maybes and a couple that are probably certainly not, even though they would be likely suspects. So, and some of these are the cancers we talked about last week, which is how all this kind of ties in. So I think probably the number one potential culprit here is colorectal cancer or colon cancer. It is the leading cause of cancer death in people younger than 50.
Because it's like, it can go undiagnosed.
Well, and we talked about this last week. I mean, one of the reasons that it's a little bit more dangerous for younger people, when I say younger, I'm saying, you know, younger than 50, is because we don't generally screen people for it at that age.
Okay.
You know,
because you go get colonoscopy.
Correct.
That's what
they do. I had to go get mine last year. No, it's not. It totally sucks. I hate it. Actually, the colonoscopy was fine because they knock you out. The prep is what sucks.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so... Yeah, so colorectal cancer absolutely can be had in the 40s.
Okay.
It would be discovered in major abdominal surgery because potentially she might have had a blockage. In fact, I have a friend who's a doctor, was diagnosed literally the same way. They had a blockage of their intestines at 40, 47, I think, and they went in to operate to relieve that and then found out it was cancer.
Oh.
And you give chemotherapy for that cancer. So I think that one is probably the most likely. I'm not saying that's what it is. No one knows for sure. But like I said, you can make an educated guess based on the data that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's probably far and away the most likely culprit is colorectal cancer. Ovarian cancer. So that's not one we talked about last week. Because we talked about what cancers were increasing in young people. That's why I keep saying we talked about last week. So we didn't talk about ovarian cancer last week, although... We probably should have, because when I started digging in ovarian cancer, because that would be diagnosed from abdominal surgery.
Okay.
You do use chemo for it.
Yes.
Obviously, that's a cancer of women, you know, not men. And I found out that in the UK, specifically where she's from, 18% of ovarian cancers are found in women less than 50.
Oh.
So the only reason I didn't put it number one as opposed to colorectal is because there's just more colorectal cancer out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's more colorectal cancer than there is ovarian by a pretty big number.
Okay.
The third one would be endometrial or uterus cancer.
Okay.
We did talk about that one last week. I think probably that one's a little bit lower down the list because in younger people, there's a pretty high association with obesity.
Okay.
And obviously...
She's not.
Yeah, I mean, she's... Now, it doesn't mean that non-obese people can't get it,
mm-hmm.
but looking at the data, it seems like that for uterine cancer, it does have at least a predilection. But the same things would apply. You would diagnose it with an abdominal surgery. There is chemotherapy for that. Mm-hmm. And obviously she fits the profile being 40s women, although it's, it is more common in older people, but 40s people can't get it.
Right.
So I think those three are probably the most likely ones. I had a couple I put on the maybe list. I put maybe gastric cancer, so that's like stomach cancer.
Okay.
And also put pancreatic cancer. Both of those, same thing, would be diagnosed with abdominal surgery, potentially. I mean, you could diagnose some other ways, but that is a potential way it could be diagnosed. You do give chemotherapy for those. They do happen in their 40s, but they're more rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a statistics guy, right? I mean, yes, it could be those, but if there's another cancer that happens 10 times more frequently, then obviously I'm going to think that the one that happens 10 times more frequently is the one.
Isn't pancreatic cancer, like, really deadly?
Yes, but in younger people, not always, because there's two types of pancreatic cancer. There's, like, adeno, which is basically... So, the pancreas produces a lot of... It produces, like, insulin, glucagon, those type of things. So you can get cancer of those islet cells.
Okay.
That's more common in young people, and it has a better prognosis
mm-hmm.
than the adenocarcinoma, which is what old people get.
Okay.
So, yes, you're correct. Pancreatic cancer in general is very, very, very bad. Like, probably the worst cancer you could get.
Yeah, that's what I was scared of that she had. Because
yeah. Well, the only thing is that secret. If she had pancreatic cancer, it would probably be the islet cell version, which has a better prognosis.
Okay.
If you're, like, 60, 70, you get pancreatic cancer...
There's no hope, really.
I wouldn't say there's no hope, but it's very bad.
Yeah.
Younger people that get it a little bit prognosis. But once again, you go to the numbers game, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more colorectal cancer out there than there is stomach or pancreas. So that's why I put those in the maybe list.
Well, let's hope that it's the...
Well, it sounds like, based on what she's saying, if she's, being honest about it, that they found it in time and it's not
doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and that she's being treated and she's going to be all right, although it's hard to say. I mean... The fact
she looks great. Her hair looks great. That's the first thing I said.
Yeah, she looks
good. She has pretty hair.
I had two that I put on the probably not list. Probably not to certainly not. Breast cancer.
Yeah.
That would be, if they didn't mention that it was discovered in abdominal surgery, I'd say breast cancer is very high on the list.
Yeah.
Women in their 40s do get breast cancer, but diagnosed in abdominal surgery, no.
With
chemotherapy, yeah, you do get chemo for breast cancer.
Definitely.
The abdominal surgery diagnosis kind of excludes that one. And the other one was cervical. That's another common cancer of women in their 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually is fairly common, but you diagnose that with a pap smear.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be diagnosed with abdominal surgery.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, there's a lot of speculation out there. I think if I had to put my money on one, I'd say colorectal, but I mean, it absolutely could be something different.
Yeah.
I'm just playing the numbers game of like, what's most likely based on the data that we know and like, what are the most common cancers that are out there?
It's good detective work.
I felt like I did some pretty hard work there. I mean, obviously, we don't want to make light of it. I mean, we're asking because the whole world's asking.
Travis will give her a call and figure it out.
You know her, Travis? Travis, yeah, you know all the famous people. Travis, we didn't mention this when the show started. Travis got to interview, it was Biden or
Kamala.
Harris?
Kamala Harris.
Oh, it was Kamala yesterday, uh-huh. Yeah. Yesterday, right?
Yeah, this was like 2 days ago, actually.
That's super cool,
yeah,
man.
It was 2 days ago. It
she's
was
like, cool. You're like the queen of America.
Yeah, she's like the queen of America, which, as I said, I don't really care about the royalty. Yeah. So. That's really cool. So I guess you can just call up Kate and ask her since you know her.
Just give her a quick call.
Don't they live...
Ringer.
In Canada? Or is that the other ones?
I think that's Prince Harry and Meghan, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh,
they're
that's
not
right.
Really, they're not even...
I couldn't even name them.
Yeah, Harry.
I know that there's two that left England, right? They left the
mm-hmm.
royal
family
or something?
Well, I think they're still considered, but I think they took their
I think he renounced his throne.
The title, like, they still have their titles, but none of the job. Benefits. The job of being a prince and a princess. The job.
So they get all the benefits, but like they don't have the work.
They don't have the title anymore.
Sounds like a perfect thing to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, well, interesting. We wish the best for Kate. It sounds like that she's getting treated. I'm sure she's getting great care, and we wish her all the best. And I guess I assume eventually we'll find out. We'll see how well we did at some point. Surely they'll say it at some point, right?
Like they will, because I feel like they'll give like a little announcement, you know, update. That she beat it.
Like, yes, you beat it, right? Yeah, yeah. I just thought that they would say, because, you know, you think about someone that high profile getting a cancer, suddenly there would be a lot of like information out there about it, and it might potentially help someone, you know,
more research, more
like prevent
stuff.
It or either find a treatment or prevent them getting it, because it would be, you know, okay, how do you prevent this?
Yeah,
that's why I thought that they should say,
like,
what it was.
Yeah, they should have done, not like that, a PSA of like, we could have known earlier about this, right, if this would have happened, and then they would start promoting.
Or maybe they say, because we were doing these tests, that we got it early. Yeah, that's why I thought they should say. I assume they will at some point. I guess we'll find out how good my detective work was.
Yeah.
So, we'll all right. Out. Speaking of detective work, Sarah did some detective work on a product creatine. I actually used to take a lot of.
Yeah.
So it's
creatine supplements, like a powder.
Right. Is it still creatine phosphate? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is the same.
And I started taking it just because a company sent it to me. And
for free?
And I was reading about it.
Wait, because of like your social media?
Because I do like workout videos. I don't do workout videos. I just video myself working out a lot, and just that's my thing.
So you got
thing.
Some free creatine, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, they just sent it to me. But I didn't really, whenever I thought, think creatine.
Have you ever taken it before?
No.
You've never taken it?
I take protein.
Protein, oh yeah.
And collagen powder. But whenever I hear the word creatine, I think of almost like a steroid. And so it freaked me out, because when I was in high school, I remember football players would take creatine, and I remember it was like bad. Then.
So I can tell you, I actually can talk about this, because I mean, there was a time in my life where I was a pretty serious athlete, and I was lifting weights all the time. I was training, you know, running. This is actually after I graduated high school, which I wasn't really, you know, doing it more than just for my own benefit. I mean, I was doing some organized sports, but when creatine came out, like in the early 90s, there was a lot of mystery about it.
Yeah.
You know, like if you went to GNC to buy it, like they couldn't put it on.
It's kind of like people like sketched out by it. It was like sketchy.
Yeah, it was sketchy. Of course, that didn't stop me from
Everybody in high school, if you were taking it, you were a sketchy person.
Yeah, so me and my friends all took it. Yeah. And I tell you,
of course you did. Sketchy.
I know, right? So for those who don't, well, I mean, I guess you could tell them what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, so it's
sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, you're good. It's supposed to help your body produce more ATP. So, and that's what fuels your muscles and helps you get stronger and stuff and last longer in the gym.
So like what I was told when I was buying it is that if you take creatine phosphate, your body can make more ATP without running out. So you can work out longer before you hit that lactic
plateau,
acid cycle.
Yeah.
So if you can work out longer, that means you can get stronger,
longer.
Get faster.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually took it for a long time. Because it was pretty cheap, and like it's tasteless.
You don't have to take that much of it.
Yeah, I just like I think it was like a teaspoon or a tablespoon.
And it's tasteless,
I can't remember. I thought it worked.
I think it does too, and I've only been taking it for a week. I can tell more on cardio things. So like when I'm on an air bike, I can tell that I have the ability to push myself just a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I always wondered if it was a placebo effect.
Maybe.
So you know what I'm going to ask you is. When you were researching, was there any like data on it?
Well, the article I have that I used is from Healthline. They used all kinds of like government, the PubMed government.
Oh, so there's actually studies on now, I would assume. Oh, so
yeah, I didn't pull up any of them.
That's okay.
But
what's the consensus?
That it works.
That it does work.
That like it's proven to work.
Proven to work.
Yes. So we'll talk about it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Tell me. Educate
okay.
Me.
So creatine is found in your body naturally. And it's usually found in your muscle cells.
Yes.
And some of it's found in your brain.
Okay.
And it's also found in men and their man parts.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So.
Their man parts.
From there, you can think that.
Yeah, it's a medical term.
I didn't want to say
man
it.
Man parts.
If I say it, then I'll laugh, and then I'm laughing now, so it doesn't matter.
All right.
But, so from there, you can, you know, discover that creatine's good for your muscles and it's good for your brain.
And so the thought process is that when you take supplements, like, you're not going to burn through it as fast.
Yeah, you're going to. So this helps you build your storage. So 95% of your creatine is stored in your muscles. And then the other 5% is stored in your brain. And then in guys, it's in their stuff. And yeah, so, and we can, so naturally we get creatine from the food we eat. It's found in red meat and fish.
That's what I was going to ask. Is like, what? In fact, now that you've mentioned that, I remember reading that back in the day when
Get that. You got to eat that red meat. Get that steak. Made in the liver and kidneys. And when you supplement, you increase your storage. And when that happens, it helps produce more ATP.
Right, which is good. Yes. ATP is good.
More ATP equals better performance.
So for those who don't know, because there might be people out there who have zero medical background, ATP is basically our fuel for our muscles.
Yes.
It lets us...
Energy currency.
Yeah, it's like energy. That's a good term. Energy currency, yeah.
My note taking.
You want to have a lot of ATP.
So creatine gives your muscles more energy, at least to changes in cell function, increase muscle growth. You can boost your workload, so higher volumes of weight.
More reps, more strength.
Yeah. So, and then it has muscle repair, aids in muscle repair.
Does it? I didn't know
that. New muscle growth. So the more, like when you take it, it not only helps you build muscle, but after that workout, it helps your body rebuild afterwards. It is, you retain water, actually, when you take creatine, so it's good for cell hydration, but that also means you need to drink water when you take it.
Really? Okay, so you get dehydrated.
Yeah, so your breast, so yeah.
Was there any data, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm gonna ask you since you did the research. Is there any data on risks of taking creatine?
They had studies, old studies I found on this article that said that it was bad for you or something, like that was whenever, not bad for you, but like, that it was sketchy. They didn't. But the thing is that they've like completely rejected those articles.
So they've rejected that.
Yes.
Because I took it for a long period of time. I did not notice any downsides. I mean, I may have I may have some disease I don't know about because I took it.
No, but you have creatine disease? Heard of it.
I took it for a long time when I was really in my kind of workout phases. And I thought it worked. And I really didn't have any side effects. And I was actually a fan of it.
Yeah, literally at the end of the notes, it says, like, at my notes, creatine exhibits no harmful side effects, though it's commonly believed to cause dehydration and cramps. Studies don't support this.
Oh, okay.
So the only bad thing about it that it could ever possibly be is that you're going to get dehydrated and have cramps.
Yeah.
But the studies say that's not even true anyways.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Do you know what the cost, like, say I want to take creatine... Every time, say I'm working out 5 days a week, which I'm not right now, but if I was, how much would it cost me? Do you have to take the creatine every day or do you just take it on the days you work out?
So creatine to load, they tell you to load on creatine first. So take 5 grams 4 times per day for 5 to 7 days. And then after that 7 day or week, take 3 to 5 grams once per day.
Okay, so you do take it every day, even if you're not working out every day. Okay.
And the best thing that I read about this, read in this article, that is creatine is for everybody. They found really positive results in elderly people, especially with their brain function.
Really?
Yeah, and them just like being able to get up out of a chair, you know, like just normal movement is good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the greatest thing I read.
Well, I've actually kind of got back into exercise and running. I may actually... try the creatine again, see if it helps my running and cardio. I used it a lot when I was really into weights, and I thought with weights, because you know when you're doing weights, obviously you want to do more reps or be able to finish them, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to...
What about cost? So how much does it cost, do you know? Because you got it for free.
I got it for free, but...
I'm going to have to look that up.
I'm sure it's not like super expensive. Like I'm sure it costs just as much as buying protein.
Yeah, it wasn't super expensive back when I was buying it.
Yeah.
Even though it was kind of like under the table. What is this stuff? I don't know. It's good for working out. Okay, I'll try it.
Give me that sketchy stuff in the back.
Yeah, give me the sketchy stuff in the back.
But so ATP, it helps it. So that's what we were talking about before. But ATP lasts 10 seconds. But with creatine, it lasts for a few seconds longer.
Okay.
Which apparently provides positive results.
Okay.
So well, yeah. I think it's crazy that it's like just with that extra couple of seconds of ATP lasting in your body that you can push your body.
Yeah.
Just
well, I mean,
more.
Think about it. Like, so say if it normally lasts 10 and you get extra 3 seconds, that means, you know, over the span of your entire workout, you get 30% more. Like, that's a lot.
That's good. See, numbers. I'm not good at that. Math. You mathing over there.
I'm a mathlete.
So besides you just muscle performance, we talked about your like your brain function, and it's good for, it can help treat neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, and then it can treat ALS, which is amyotrophic.
Yeah, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Yeah. Traumatic brain injuries, epilepsy, and short-term memory loss, which I think is good because I have a horrible memory, and I've had, and I've had a seizure, so I'm like, this thing.
Yeah, you should be on.
Could help me pretty good. So all in all, I think that people should take it. I think it's something that you should take.
We should have our own brand of Nip Talk creatine.
I'm down for it, and we could call it the not so sketchy stuff.
Yeah, this is legit.
Not the sketchy stuff.
Well, I may actually revisit that. I really
should. I think it's going to work really good because I struggle with endurance.
Yeah.
I can lift a lot, but not for very long. I can run really fast, but not for really long.
Well, I want a full report as you kind of get more into this about, you know, how you think it's
I'm
working.
I'm excited about it.
I may actually start doing it. I've just started to get back into running just because finally, it's, you know, daylight late enough. When I get home, I can do it. And I'm getting a little caught up on some of my projects. So
buy some, dry scoop it, and scare your children.
I probably still have some in like a box somewhere
that's
house to house. It's probably rock hard.
Your wife's been using it for like sugar or something.
Probably.
Real quick, too, Dr. Herbert.
Oh, yeah.
Cindy, so she did comment. She said, I will put the likelihood of ovarian much higher than endometrial. Yeah, endometrial.
Okay.
She's too young and thin for endometrial cancer. It depends on the estrogen located in the adipose tissue.
Yeah, wow. She's an OBGYN, so she knows way more about the ovarian than I do.
She also said, there is no need to bring up my childhood hair choices. it confirms that I am definitely not a short hair kind of guy.
Yeah. So she was rocking that Princess Die Cut, man. And, you know, like when I went to her house, when we were like dating, and, you know, in her house, like your parents have like the pictures where you go to like old mills. Like, I mean, we all had those, right, in our age bracket.
And you were like, what was that for? What was that? Like, tell me the story behind that.
It's a good picture. All right, you guys. I think that's about all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please leave us a comment. We want to hear from you. And come back next week, and we'll see you again on Nip Talk.
Bye.
Bye.